Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Texans on the practice field today. 97. Yes, 97. Less than 14 weeks away from opening the season in New Orleans. They're wrapping up phase three this week. You're going to hear from some assistant coaches at 1 p.m. Our own Adam Spillane on the scene, as well as John McClain. We got you covered. Texans on the practice field. Keep it locked here on the home of your Houston Texans, Sports Radio 610. Yesterday at practice, Brett Favre visiting with Deshaun Watson, visited with J.J. Watt, even visited with Bill O'Brien. The great Brett Favre out there, the face of Wrangler jeans, John Lopez, and one of the most interesting guys ever. Did you ever cover Brett Favre? I know we're counting down the OG's best moments. Did you ever cover a Brett Favre game at Lambeau Field?
Oh, heck yeah.
Wow. Sorry for asking.
No, that was a lot of fun. As I mentioned earlier, I want to say it was the NFC Championship, and then I went down to Kill, Mississippi, where Brett Favre is from, and did like the definitive kind of story, you know, people like to do back in the day. On the family and him growing up and being, because where he grew up in Mississippi is within like 2 hours of New Orleans. And so that's where the Super Bowl was. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I did.
That was where they beat the New England Patriots and he hit Andre Rison early in the game on a long bomb.
Big kick return too, right?
Desmond Howard was the MVP of that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, I remember all the time because
By the way, the Super Bowl didn't even make my list. I almost put the Michael Jackson one only because of the halftime.
Because you're talking 92-93.
Yeah,
92-93 season, Cowboys versus Bills. 52-17 was the score of that one.
Yeah.
Just a damn encyclopedia here.
Yeah.
I remember where I was when that happened. I was sitting on my fireplace watching that. We ordered a couple pizzas, Meat Lovers pizzas from Pizza Hut. That was back in the day. Took a little bit more time back then to get delivery. Ordered it before the game. Didn't get there till halftime when Mike was on stage.
What? Order a bunch of pizzas.
I did it, but not during a game. And then that New England Patriots game, I was at my house. I remember it was a school night. My mom let me have like a small Super Bowl party. I think my friend Matt Thompson came over. And the only reason I remember this is because I got some peanut M&Ms. And my corny ass with the peanut M&Ms when this Desmond Howard thing was going on with the Patriots, I separated. I think that was right when blue M&Ms had come out.
Oh, God.
I separated the blue and red M&Ms in one bowl, and I put the green and yellow in the other.
That's
for Packers versus
Patriots. I get that. I could have gotten down with that.
I remember. I'm telling you, you name any game, I'll tell you exactly where I was. MVP odds are out for the NFL. Last year, just to put in perspective of how we obviously don't see things coming in this NFL league, last year at this time, Patrick Mahomes was 53-1. To win MVP. So if you put $100 on Pat Mahomes at this time last year, you're getting 5,300. You're getting some good bread. Here's some odds here, and I want you to just book your bet. I'm going to give you $30 to mess with, okay?
All right.
I'm going to put $30 in the OG's wallet.
By the way, I booked my trip to Vegas today.
I saw it. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. We're going to be there, baby. We're going to be there for one of the biggest weekends. We just got to get Figgy to get there now, too. Well, I'm looking at flights for you, Figgy. Kyler Murray, plus 7,500, 75-1. Lamar Jackson, 60-1. Baker Mayfield, just 9-1. Can you believe that? That's not great value.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Mahomes, 4-1. Andrew Luck, 8-1. Deshaun Watson, 20-1. Go ahead and spend $30 right now on those long shots, John.
Lock it up, Andrew Luck.
You're going all 30.
Lock it up.
Okay, so we're going.
In terms of value,
you could have spread it
actually out. Actually, 15 on Luck, 15 on Watson.
Okay, $15 on Luck.
Good value on Deshaun at 20-1, plus 2,000.
Yeah,
you're right. I'll split it between those two. Whichever of those two gets rolling big time, but Luck is the big time favorite. Baker Mayfield's 9-1, and they got a long way to go, even though they got talent. But Andrew Luck has already been close, and
he's
8-1.
Still 8-1, yeah. But you got Deshaun Watson, so if he does win it, you got your $300 there. Thank you very much. Don't ask me to pay out your bet, but I will book your bet.
Yeah.
Gerald McCoy officially signs. We thought it was going to be the Browns, then we thought it was going to be the Ravens, but a team from the South comes down, and according to our own John McClain, they also offered the most money, the Carolina Panthers signed Gerald McCoy for a little bit over $8 million. There are some incentives that could land him $10 million this season, but Gerald McCoy will be a member of the Carolina Panthers. He's going to get to play his former team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, two times because he's going to be in the division. And the Texans, a lot of people wanted the Texans to get a look at some inside pass rush with Gerald McCoy. Not going to happen in the words of John McClain because Gerald McCoy is a Carolina Panther.
I heard Seth Payne this morning kind of angry about this when you see the deal because it's a one-year deal. That's a Brian Gaines special. I mean, he's becoming the king of the one-year deal for $8.5 million. And you signed Matt Khalil for $7.5 million?
Yeah.
When he said that, I hadn't thought of it, so I want to give Seth credit. But he's right. I'm not angry about it, but I think this could be a deal that you could go back and look like, had they done that, you know, instead of Khalil, who might not even make the team.
I mean, he's still going to get like $3 million if he doesn't.
I understand that. He probably will make the team.
Will he?
But
are you confident?
Not real confident.
I mean, he's not even cleared yet.
Yeah, not real confident. But he may not even make the team, whereas Gerald McCoy is going to be an impact player for $1 million more.
You know, the craziest thing about this is you're connecting those two guys. The way that Carolina was able to clear up this cap space was by cutting Khalil. I think they saved about what it cost McCoy. So they basically traded Matt Khalil for Gerald McCoy. And could I interest you in some stats about Gerald McCoy? It might make you throw up in your mouth because you're one of the guys who wanted him here.
Now you are going to get me upset. I just said I'm not going to be upset about it, but it could be something that you look back and question.
This, according to our friends at Pro Football Focus, since 2010, Gerald McCoy's 393 total pressures are the sixth most among interior defensive linemen in that span. His 143 knockdowns put him in at fifth place. So this is a top six interior pass rusher based on the last eight plus seasons.
I mean, the amount of guaranteed production you're going to get from Gerald McCoy dwarfs what you're going to get from Matt Khalil.
Yeah, it's not close.
And all you had to do was spend $1 million more.
You
could definitely question this moving down the road, especially if DJ Reader or whomever, Brandon Dunn or one of those guys just doesn't pan out for you.
Yeah, and those guys aren't pass rushers. Even when they are at the best, those guys are more run stoppers. They don't really have a guy in the interior that gets after the quarterback. That interior pass rush, Brian Gaines acknowledged it, said they needed it, and unless it comes within, looks like they're not going to improve as much. By the way, we said this last week when Carolina got in the mix. Some guys just don't want to leave the South. You went to high school in Oklahoma City.
I get it.
You went to college in Oklahoma, Tampa Bay. It's a little bit of a culture shock. No disrespect, Figgy. I know you're a little bit disappointed because you think the Browns get whatever the hell they want, but some people don't want to move to Cleveland, bro. There's a reason you moved to Houston from Cleveland, man. There's a reason.
I get it.
You get it. Thank you very much. Also in the NFL, Ndamukong Suh, who replaced Gerald McCoy after he was released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he's going to wear his jersey number 93. A lot of people pretty upset by this, saying it was pretty classless, but Ndamukong Suh was number 93 at Nebraska when he was throwing Colt McCoy around like a rag doll. Mm-hmm. He wore 90 in Detroit because it was already taken, but he's been 93 in Miami, and he was 93 with the Rams. So it's not like they just completely disrespected him. This is a guy who's worn this jersey number for a long time as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. There's no problem with him wearing that jersey. That's what he wore at Nebraska, and I could have sworn it was 90. That Sue wore at Nebraska.
93, trust me.
Yeah, no, I know. Now that I think about it.
One of the best defensive college football players I've ever seen in my life, too.
He was one of the most dominant college players.
Could have won the Heisman, honestly.
I don't know if I voted for him, or not number one. I know I didn't vote for him no more.
Really?
But he was certainly a candidate, yeah.
He was damn good, man. Mm-hmm. He was a damn good player. He dominated, and I mean dominated, Texas in that
Big
12
most,
championship.
The two most dominant linemen I've ever seen in college football. One is Ndamukong Suh. Can you guess the other one? I'll give you some hints. You got three questions.
Reggie White at Tennessee.
No, that was before my time. Okay. Slightly.
Slightly. No, was it?
Slightly. You can ask a question.
Did he play his college football in the South?
Nope.
Did he play in the Big Ten Conference?
Yes. You got this now. You got this now. The most dominant lineman I've ever seen in my life. More so than Ndamukong Suh.
You're talking about... Damn, dude.
I voted for him number two on my Heisman ballot.
I don't know.
Orlando Pace.
Oh, you're talking offensive now.
Yeah.
Now
you're going offensive. I said lineman.
I mean, he was the number one overall pick.
He was ridiculous.
Yeah, he was good. I was thinking defense, but yeah. Orlando Pace, I remember him. But say the Rams.
Yeah.
It was the number one overall pick, held it down for the greatest show on turf. Someone that really doesn't get enough credit, if you ask me.
I totally agree.
About the greatest show on turf. I think he's one of the best left tackles ever, and he was dominant at Ohio State. I remember that very well. Blake Bortles, he says he's never received coaching like he has with the Rams. Some people say this is praising Sean McVay. Some people say this is a shot at the Texans' AFC South rival, Jacksonville Jaguars. How do you take it, OG?
I totally disagree. I told John McClain I disagreed with him when he said this. But certainly, you know, he can have the opinion. You still don't do it, and I respect that. I ask people questions in this industry. When someone gives you an honest answer, don't criticize them for it. That's what you're asking a question for. Somebody asked him about his experience in Los Angeles and said, this is better than anything I've ever had. Did you want him to lie? Now, if you want to hold the opinion he should have lied, as John McClain is saying, that's fine, you know, to protect the industry.
Why would John want him to lie?
But, yeah, but why? You know, we're asking you a question. He gives you an honest answer. Don't criticize him for it all of a sudden.
But, I mean, let's just take a step back and let's just look at this. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been talking about Boy Wonder for a few years now. I'm talking about Sean McVay out there with the Rams. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about him being Baby Belichick, and we've talked about how great he is, and he led the team to the Super Bowl, the youngest head coach ever hired. He was barely in his 30s when he got it. And we're talking about Gus Bradley, and we're talking about the coach that they got there that's B.O.B.'s guy, Doug Marrone. I mean, is that really too far-fetched to think that Blake Bortles is getting better coaches, better coaching from a guy like Sean McVay than those two guys? Like, did anyone not assume that?
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I think this is – it's actually – I don't look at it as a shot at Jacksonville. It's like when I often say, like, you compare – like, if I say Tim Duncan is better than Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, gosh. You're going to get this started
again? No, I'm not getting it started, but this is a perfect example. If I contend – And I believe it to be true.
Why are you doing this?
That Tim Duncan had a better career than Hakeem Olajuwon. That's not saying Hakeem Olajuwon was garbage. It's saying he was right there with Tim Duncan. So if Blake Bortles says, I'm getting better coaching than I've ever had, that doesn't mean he had crap coaching in Jacksonville. It means he's getting better coaching than he's ever had.
And if we're honest, some people think he did get crap coaching in Jacksonville.
But that's not what that says when he makes that statement.
It's a huge praise of Sean McVay, who we've been praising for a long time. Speaking of Jacksonville, they signed a wide receiver. They're a little thin there. They do have Nick Foles as their quarterback, but they're a little bit thin at wide receiver. They signed Terrell Pryor, 29-year-old, former Ohio State Buckeye, former Cleveland Brown. He was released by the Jets and Buffalo Bills last season. Hasn't really found his way since having that one good year in Cleveland in the year 2016. I just want to go back in time because, you know, I like going back in time. National Signing Day, when Terrell Pryor was the number one recruit in the nation. On National Signing Day, this was the decision that Terrell Pryor made amidst all the speculation. Where is he going to go? It's between Penn State and Ohio State and Oregon. This is what he had to say.
I really haven't had that much time to really get involved in the recruiting process, and I'd like to just take some time and just be fair with all the coaches that are recruiting me, because they spend a lot of time setting up and setting up paperwork and work for me just to study. So, I mean, I like to give everyone the same time.
This dude went through the whole signing day process. He had a press conference just to go up there and say, was he going to make a decision?
Yep, I remember that.
It was such a spectacle. Then we know what happens. He goes to Ohio State. He shows some good signs early. He got kicked off the team for getting the free tattoos or whatever, Jim Tressel's final year. Then Urban Meyer came there. Terrell Pryor goes to the NFL. He's a comp pick of the Raiders. They try to move him to receiver. He goes to Cleveland, has that one good year. And now I bring this up just because National Signing Day, we put these guys on such a pedestal. A lot of times the path that we think is laid out for these young kids doesn't always work out that way.
Some of the greatest five-star, can't-miss, superstar high school athletes in history don't even make it in college. You know, I mean, you can go back you know, Marcus Dupree at Oklahoma, just a dominant player, but he didn't have a great career at Oklahoma. Edwin Simmons at Texas, can't miss. He had like one season, half a season, then jumped through somebody's window naked. And then
who hasn't?
But who hasn't? Terrell Pryor had that kind of, I mean, he had flashes of brilliance. I think right now,
who's
though,
that dude?
I think right now, Low risk, high reward. I think it's a good signing. I really do. Do you?
Yeah, not, yeah. Why not? I mean, you're not really rolling the dice. He's got a lot of talent. It's weird.
He's not getting any guarantee.
Yeah, he's not getting anything. And I mean, he turned down some good money with the Browns, but it hasn't worked out for him. But I like TP. I hope he does his thing. Astros in Seattle to face the Mariners last night. First inning, Robinson Chirinos, four bags, Mr. Bellhop, a bomb. Michael Brantley gets the day off. He joins George Springer, Jose Altuve, and Carlos Correa, not in the lineup. However, the Stros, you already know what happened. They won 4-2. They're back at it again tonight. Wade Miley on the mound, coming off a nice outing against the Cubs, in which he struck out a season-high 9, tossing 7 innings of 2-run ball. Took a tough loss against the Cubs. But the Astros are on the TV tonight. It's going to be late at 9 o'clock. But the good news is, and this is why I like Wade Miley, he works fast as hell.
Yeah.
So if you're going to stay up late and watch the Astros, Wade Miley, one of the fastest working pitchers in the league. So glass half full, glass half empty. I know you got to stay up a little past your bedtime, some of you folks that like to go to bed early. But Wade Miley is going to get you bed earlier than some people.
You could be in bed by 11:15.
He goes quick. Wade Miley, he catches the ball and he's right back on the bump. Speaking of the Astros yesterday, they drafted Corey Lee, 32nd overall in the MLB draft. Some media types, I guess the MLB draft experts, which I don't see how you're a draft expert in baseball. That seems too difficult.
That's too many players.
They had him ranked the 119th prospect, and then they took a shortstop out of Ole Miss by the name of Greg Kessinger. He was the 128th. I like the draft process. I like scouting. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you scout college ball players and rank them like one.
Especially when you compare them to high school.
I don't get it.
You're comparing high school scouting to college scouting. And also, it's too many players. I mean, they still go 30-something rounds or whatever it is.
It's so long.
And the amount of margin for error is so much bigger in baseball.
And competition, like you don't know what they're playing in high school and then college. Exactly. You got the metal bats and all that. Like
exactly.
It's so hard.
It's so hard.
You got
to
go so in-depth scouting. It's insane that the Astros do that. But they got a couple guys. They got a shortstop and a catcher. Maybe you'll see them in the big leagues in like 4 years. That's usually how long the process takes. Daryl Morey.
The shortstop was from Ole Miss, so maybe a little quicker.
Well, maybe he'll replace Carlos Correa in 2 years. But you said I was reading too much into that.
Probably.
Daryl Morey clarifies the details of the contract offer made to Mike D'Antoni last week. We talked to both parties. We talked to the Rockets. I talked to the agent yesterday. Here's what you need to know. We said this before the Fagan report came out, which, by the way, Fagan said that Morey clarified, but he also stood by Morey confirming his report last week, which was somewhat confusing because it said something about not making the playoffs. Ignore all that. This is what you need to know. And this is the due diligence that we've done. The bottom line is, it was basically, essentially, a team option to bring Mike D'Antoni back in 2021. This year, this contract is guaranteed. However, if they decided to move on from Mike D'Antoni before 2021, he would have received a $2.5 million, basically, buyout. Walk away money, and they would have moved on. But if the Rockets, and this is where the confusion was with Fagan, if the Rockets had brought him back for 2021, he would have gotten his full base salary. That's what we thought originally, but right. Fagan threw this out and said Morey confirmed. And again, it was weird because there's a clarification and he stuck by the confirm. But the bottom line is $2.5 million buyout. That 2021 option, not guaranteed for the Rockets unless he was the coach. But it's not something guaranteed where he gets fired and he gets the contract like a lot of coaches do.
He's going to get paid this year and beyond that, either walk away with $2.5 million or get paid for one more year.
Had that happened, yes. That's what would have happened. We clarified that. We do our homework here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Speaking of Mike D'Antoni, we know his assistants are getting fired. He says this is Morey's decision. Roy Rogers, one of those assistants, less than a week or so after getting fired, or maybe a couple weeks, he lands a new job. He signs a 3-year deal with the Chicago Bulls. And the NBA Finals, they resume tomorrow. These 2 days in between drive me absolutely nuts, but they resume. Kevin Durant likely out for Golden State. Klay Thompson hobbled.
Questionable.
Questionable. You have Steph Curry, who was sick. Maybe he's recovered. And the ratings are way down, although take that with a grain of salt because they're very, very highly viewed in Toronto. But as we know, our rating system here for TV, it doesn't count in Canada.
I said they were going to win. Toronto was going to win the first game and lose the next three. I think I'm going to stand by that.
I think Toronto's going to win one of the next two.
Kawhi's a little hobbled, I think, too.
I think it's going seven.
And they can't withstand a star injury as much as as the Warriors can.
You know, the other thing you need to keep an eye on is how Boogie Cousins bounces back, because he hadn't played that much basketball in a long time. As phenomenal as he was on Sunday, you know, you don't know if Boogie Cousins is probably, he was probably a little bit slow to get out of bed, I would assume, after that performance.
What a performance, though, man.
Oh, what a damn good performance. It's amazing what happens when you sign someone to a mid-level exception. just putting
Rockets
that out
had
there.
Had that last
well,
week, right?
They didn't use it, though, but to each his own. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. Does the Texans offense need to spread the love in 2019? My man Clint Hot Fudge Sterner says they do. Let's cuss and discuss next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.